Welcome to the Words of Grace podcast, where we seek to clarify, amplify, and apply the Sunday morning sermon at Grace Community Church. From time to time, we'll address other topics. We hope these podcasts help you press the Word of God into your everyday life.
Well, good afternoon. Today is September the 13th, Monday. Here is Scott Patty.
Hey, hello. Justin.
How are you doing?
I'm doing well. It's good. Monday. Beautiful, yeah. Monday outside.
And we need to say something because over the last week, I have sensed it in the air of the great state of Tennessee, which is why I longed to come here, which is my favorite season of all seasons.
Fall. Yeah. Now, you came from Texas.
Yeah, there was no fall.
No fall?
Summer. Year-round.
You didn't. So where you were in Texas, no winter?
Yeah. No. Well, I mean, you'd get lucky a few days a year, but it was, okay. I mean, there was a lot of times at Christmas it was 80 degrees and I'd be playing basketball outside.
Okay.
So, no. So I've been excited that fall is coming.
So the challenge of Tennessee, though, being a Tennessean, the challenge is that you have these few weeks of fall that are so beautiful, and then it's gone very quickly.
Yeah, that is true.
It's like spring. You have a few days and a few weeks in the spring, they're just perfect outside, you know, and then it's hot. Yeah. It's super hot. So
yeah, and then I will say, Tennessee gets dark very fast, and soon it'll be like...
Because we're located in relation to the Eastern time zone.
Yeah.
That's why...
Wasn't there some law to supposed to get rid of this, Scott?
Yeah. We probably better move on.
We're going to go down a whole nother trail that's not helpful. Well, we have been in the book of John here at Grace Community Church, and I've been, what a great, I mean, I say this with every sermon series, but man, the Gospels, I feel like I've needed it.
Yeah.
So much for my own soul. But this week we were kind of going back to John chapter 3. You preached from this text, but as you said, you didn't get to finish a point because you had not enough time last week. So this week, your title was Jesus Came on a Mission. So you talked a lot about his mission. So for just the purpose of the podcast, quickly, will you outline kind of where you were heading? What was the main focus of the text in your sermon?
Yeah, main focus, John 3:16 through 21. Most people know at least the reference of John 3:16 because it's on that big yellow sign at sporting events.
Yep.
And so that is, for God so loved the world that he gave his only son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have eternal life. Verse 17, for God did not send his son into the world to condemn the world, but in order that the world might be saved through him. Mm. That is such a missions passage. It's a missionary passage. Jesus was sent by God the Father on a mission that the world might be saved through him.
Yeah.
So there's a lot of just purity to this to this passage. So what we were doing on Sunday is looking at the mission of Jesus. And we just drew out some points. You know, it's so important. The great indicator of the importance of the mission primarily is because it's Jesus' mission. He's the Son of God. He's the Word, the eternal Word, who was in the beginning with God, who was God, who became flesh, who dwelt among us. And now he is on a mission. So the very fact that it's the mission of Jesus Christ, who is the Son of God, made flesh, means it's an elevated priority mission.
Yeah.
We looked at the heart of God behind it, for God so loved the world, and the beauty of God's love in that it's for a world that's in rebellion, and yet God still loves, and how the overflow of his own nature. What else? Okay, well, yeah, so we did it was Jesus' mission, the heart behind the mission, why it's necessary was another part of it, because of sin and darkness and condemnation in the world. The accomplishment of the mission.
Yep.
Jesus actually did accomplish salvation for those who believe, the atonement for sin, the removal of the curse, the transferred status from condemned to not condemned, darkness to light. This is what Jesus accomplished. And then we wrapped up with our response to it, the response of faith, you know, believing in him, receiving Jesus, rejoicing in it, remembering it. Yep. Repeating it is our mission. So that's a quick overview of Sunday sermon.
Yeah. Well, again, great sermon. Now, our question, kind of where I want to spend our time today on the podcast, is you look at this text, Scott, you see a lot about condemnation, which is in reference to how bad the world is.
Yeah.
They deserve condemnation, but also see a lot about eternal life. So you read that, and I don't know, maybe you could get to the conclusion, okay, I just shouldn't think about this world. Like, I just need to think about my eternity.
Eternal life. Yeah.
So help us with that. Is that a right way of thinking? How should we think about eternity in this world? as a Christian, help with that.
Okay. Well, we should remember in thinking about our life in this world, and then also reading Jesus' words about believing in him, not perishing, having eternal life. We should remember that eternal life begins now. So eternal life is for this world as well as the world to come. All right, so Christians believe that God, in his timing, is going to do something that's decisive. He's going to do something that ends the world, the earth, the world history as we know it, and brings in a new place, a new state of being, a new heaven, a new earth, a new world. All right. So we believe that's decisive. In other words, it's God is at his time is going to decide that it's time for Christ to return, and to all the making of all things new will be complete. Now, there's a lot of details in there that Christians don't agree on.
Right.
But most Christians who read the Bible understand that and believe that. Eternal life, we often think, is something that only starts then, when a person dies or at that point of that decisive end of history as we know it and beginning of the new heaven and the new earth. But really, eternal life is life with God. And for the Christian, that begins on earth, although not in its fullest form. Mm-hmm. Not in its completeness. So one of the reasons we are still focused on living our lives in this world to the glory of God and on mission with God is because our own eternal life begins now. As the redeemed children of God and the filling of the Holy Spirit, the gift of the Holy Spirit, the filling of the Holy Spirit, being kingdom people now, the life of God in us. So that's one reason we should do that. But we also should live without turning a blind eye to this world. But at the same time, because God's interested in justice and righteousness in this world that honors him. He's the creator of justice and righteousness. I was just reading this morning in my own quiet time in 2 Corinthians. I'm sorry, not that. In 2 Samuel. Mm-hmm. It's 2 Corinthians 2. I was reading both of those this morning. But in 2 Samuel, I was reading, where it's just a little verse. It says that David, King David, reigned in Israel, and that he did justice and righteousness. So he was governing, and he was governing with justice and righteousness, and God wanted that. That pleases the Lord, because God is a God of justice and a God of righteousness. So, but at the same time, we need to remember that justice and righteousness is full in the kingdom of God. At the full entrance or at the full revelation and experience of the kingdom of God. So what the gospel is about, Jesus said, is you must be born again in order to enter the kingdom of God.
Yeah.
So we live, we don't turn a blind eye in this world. We do care about justice and righteousness, but we also realize that the kingdom of God will come in its fullness at the return of Christ. Justice and righteousness is there fully and complete, and that the gospel message is how you enter that kingdom.
Right.
So we prioritize the message of the gospel, of entering the kingdom of God. And I think one more thing I would say, and then we can ask other questions, but one more thing I would say is that if you think about this world and justice and righteousness being done in this world, you know, there is an institution that is going to be accountable to God for justice and righteousness on the earth. Mm-hmm. And that institution is human government.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I think we forget that sometimes, that we say, well, government is not a Christian government. It doesn't matter. Mm-hmm. God's going to hold every government on the planet accountable for the way it promotes justice and righteousness. Why? Yeah. Because God is just and righteous.
Yeah.
And he's the one that sets the human existence with human government. That's his purposes. So that institution has the God-given responsibility for justice and righteousness in their domain. And if it doesn't do it, it'll be held accountable by God. But there's only one institution on the whole planet that has the message of the gospel, how you enter the kingdom of God, and that's the church.
Yeah.
So the church has a priority message, and it is the gospel of Jesus Christ. You must be born again. Hmm. The Son of Man is going to be lifted up. Everyone who believes in him will not perish but have eternal life. This is John 3.
Right.
So that message is priority for the church because the church is the only institution on the planet that has been entrusted with that message to be distributed to the whole world.
Yeah. So help us a little bit with, as you were preaching your sermon on Sunday and probably the last few Sundays, I have this, we're seeing Jesus, you know, and his mission begin in the gospel. And I'm looking at it and a lot of times I'm thinking, okay, about my own life. And I'm saying, okay, we often will say in the church, let's be more and more like Christ, mm-hmm. be more and more like Jesus. And so we see him here in this text specifically lay out his mission. And so I say, okay, if that's his mission and I'm to become more like Jesus, this should be my mission. Mm-hmm. Is that a correct connection or am I stretching it too far? Like, well, but you're not Jesus, so you can't go there. But is that an okay analogy as we're thinking about the Gospels and we're thinking about his mission and just him as he lived? Like, is it okay to say, hey, I need to be like that?
Yeah, as long as you understand it, what we mean by that. So yes, the mission of Jesus is the mission of the church, mm-hmm. and then therefore it is the mission of every Christian.
Yeah.
It should be. Now, quickly, Jesus came to die for our sins.
Yeah.
We're not dying for anybody. I'm not dying for anybody's sin. I'm not atoning for sin, mine or anybody else's.
Right.
But I am carrying the message of the atoning work of Jesus.
Right.
Because that was Jesus' mission.
Yeah.
Now, we need to also be clear that every individual Christian is called to make that their mission, but they still have to go to work every day.
Right.
And we still have people with varying professions in life or varying callings that are their primary work, whether it's done in a paid or non-paid setting. Everybody has that, and we're to carry it out to the glory of God because work is also a part of the command of God. Hmm. So we say, well, if I'm working at a job that's not like preaching the gospel every day, how in the world am I carrying out the mission of Jesus? Hmm. And the answer to that is very simple. You belong to a local church.
Hmm.
When a Christian belongs to a local church that is committed to being a local church, which is to disciple, make disciples, preach the gospel, exalt Christ, preach the word, then that person is contributing, is partaking of, partnering in mm-hmm. the mission of Jesus through the work of a local church.
Yep.
So everybody, every Christian can do whatever work they're called to do in this world unto the glory of God and reflect God's image through good work. Every Christian is motivated differently than they were before they became a Christian because they're doing this work unto the glory of God.
Yeah.
And they are also contributing and participating in the mission of Jesus, even if it feels indirect, through faithfulness in a local congregation that is specifically tasked with making disciples and preaching the gospel to the nations.
Yeah.
So, you know, that's a way of, so yes, I think that's a long way of answering your question.
Right.
Does the Christian take on the mission of Jesus?
Yeah.
No, the Christian doesn't die on the cross, but yes, the Christian is a part of the mission of Jesus through their own ministry, their own personal involvement, and primarily their involvement together in local congregations that are doing that.
Yeah. Well, it's been helpful. I think it was convicting too. I mean, you were talking the quote from D.A. Carson about Jesus, and we're just now talking about his mission and how he played a role in that. But then it's the motivation of that mission.
His love.
And oh man, that to me was so helpful to really check my own heart and go, okay, am I heading out really with that motivation in mind to love people?
Yeah. Well, so that quote, just so the people that maybe didn't hear Sunday, D.A. Carson talked about the reason, I can't quote it now, I've forgotten the quote, but the gist of it is that the thing that makes God's love so great and so admirable is not that it's big enough to cover the whole world because the world is so big, but that it's God's love enough, divine enough, to be love for a world that is so bad.
Yeah.
It is so rebellious against God, and yet God still loves out of the overflow of who he is and sent his son.
Yeah.
And his son came on mission and and accomplished it. He accomplished salvation for all who will believe.
Good. Well, that helps us. That helps us think about how to balance just how we think about our involvement in the world, but also our perspective of eternity and how we live in that. So I'm hoping that these sermons are helpful for Grace and others who are listening to them, that as we go out and live like Jesus in the world.
You know, sorry, you're winding this down. One more thought. I think what the burden of Sunday is for me is we as Christians need to remember that whatever the challenges are in our world, whatever the problems that need solutions are in our world, and they are real, and we should be working for them, we cannot forget that human beings, individuals, need to be saved. They need to come into a right relationship with God through Jesus Christ. That need remains. And I think we are losing sight of that. I think because of the challenges that our world is facing, and they are, as I said, they are many and they are real, and we should give our attention to them. But we cannot forget that there is a greater need, the greatest need of all, according to Jesus in John 3, is that the person, whoever, anyone, he says, that the individual will come to faith in Jesus Christ and not perish but have eternal life. And if we cannot forget that. And we've got to keep that as, you know, our calling, as well as we keep an eye to the world and all the problems and bringing about solutions to it.
Great. Well, thank you, Scott. And hopefully this is helpful to everyone listening, and we'll be in John.
Finish up John 3.
Good. Look forward to it.